Heavenly Father, as we now come to the time of preaching the Word of God, I pray, Lord, that Your hand will be on the service, Your touch, God will be, Your anointing would be upon the preaching of the Word of God. I pray You'll anoint our hearts to receive. May we desire to receive from You. May we desire and pray even now, Lord, speak to me. Lord, speak to my heart. Give me something from Your Word. Allow Your Holy Spirit to deal with us here today. Lord, I don't want to leave the way that I came. I want to be challenged and stirred. I want to be helped. I want to, dear Father, leave this building today, God, more determined, dear Father, to live for Jesus in a day when it's unpopular, when it's unwelcomed and unwanted. Help me, dear Lord, to shine the light in the midst of a dark and wicked and ungodly world. Dear Father, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I pray now that You would help us as we look in the precious Word of God. Bring to our attention, Lord, the things, God, that I need to see and say. And, dear Father, help us to get personal with this awaiting congregation. Lord, grant liberty and power to preach the Word of God today. I plead the blood over that. I ask You now to help us, Lord. Give us what we need today based on grace, Lord. Can't ask You to give us what we need based on our deservings, based on merit. So I pray You'd be merciful unto us today and speak to us, Lord, and we'll praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew chapter number 8, let's begin our reading in verse number 1. We read these verses last Sunday and preached or attempted to preach both services out of these verses. And I feel like the Lord still has not done with that particular thought yet. On getting help from God. Getting help from God. I don't know about you, but as a believer, there'll never be a day in your life that you're not a needy person. The day that you think you've arrived, the day that you think that you're on the level that you don't need help is the day that you're probably going to fall. To him that think he stands, take heed lest he fall. God hates pride. God hates a proud look. God hates for us to be confident. The Bible tells us in Philippians 3 to have no confidence in the flesh. The flesh profiteth nothing, is what Jesus said. But in chapter number 8, we have two particular stories here of people that got help from God. And I want to look at those again today. Chapter 8 and verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, and saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And then in verse number 5, our second story, the Bible says, And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. If you'll notice now that in both of these accounts, the first account of the leper, Jesus said, I will. When he was asked, when he was approached, he said, I will. There in verse number 3. And then here he was asked, the centurion basically had just given to the Lord a report of his servant being at home sick with palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion didn't even get to the point of asking, Jesus, will you come? Because really, as the next verses show us, that really wasn't what he wanted Jesus to do. He wasn't wanting Jesus to come, but he wanted Jesus to do something. And notice in verse number 8, but Jesus said, I'll come. Before he was ever even asked, Jesus said, I will come in verse 7 and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, verse number 8, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Now, what should be meaningful there is that this man exercising faith was not a Jew. This man was a Roman centurion, a Gentile. But here he was exercising great faith, and the Lord responded to that. And I want to say here today, the Lord still responds to faith. Amen. I mean, when anyone, anywhere, of any race, my friend, exercises faith in the Lord, my friend, Jesus will respond. Did He deserve it? No. Did you deserve it? No. Will we ever deserve it? The answer, again, is no. But when faith steps up, Jesus smiles and responds. Amen. I like that. Amen. And then again in verse 13, and Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Amen. Getting help from God. Now we found in verses 1 through 4, the leper got help from God personally, or he got help from God for himself. And then in verse 5 through 13, we find the centurion getting help for another person. So we have here two great truths that all of us need to be confronted with. And that is getting help from God for ourselves, and then getting help from God for others. And we pointed out last week, I don't want to get back into a lot of that, but I pointed out last week the particular order laid out in the text. I believe the Bible is a perfect book. Amen? Amen. I don't believe that about all them other things that's out there, but this Bible I hold in my hand, I have great confidence, my friend, that it is inspired of God. Amen? I believe that. This blessed King James Bible is God's Word for English-speaking people. Amen. I wouldn't go to a church that used anything else. I wouldn't listen to a preacher use anything else. A Sunday school teacher used anything else. Amen? They said, well, they've got some good things in it. Heard a preacher say one time, why would I want to dig through a trash can to find a biscuit? Amen. That's good, amen? That's exactly right, amen. But listen, the order laid out here is, the order is the one getting help for himself precedes the story of one getting help for another. And so that tells me that before I can help another person, I've got to get help myself. Amen. And I'll tell you, that's important. That's important. You better keep your eye on your own spiritual life. Better keep your eye on your own spiritual well-being. And when you see decline, and when you see deficiency, and when you see deadness coming in, and when you see defilement coming in, you better pause, my friend, and make that a priority, as did this leper. Make it a priority to get some help from Jesus, because if you don't get some help, my friend, you won't be able to help nobody else. And most people today in church can't help others because they're in a shape, my friend, themselves, that is pitiful and needy. Amen. It would probably shock us all if God were to reveal up here on the screen this morning the condition that each one of us are in this morning, sitting right here in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. It would probably embarrass us if God would have put up there our condition. I'm talking about as I speak. Not yesterday evening, last night. I'm talking about right now the condition that we're in. Amen. Anybody in here, quit raising their hand and say, preacher, I don't need any help. Anybody in here said, "Preach, I'm in a good shape. I'm in a great shape spiritually, and I don't need any help." No, I know better than even ask for a raise of hands on that. And nobody would do that except a deceived person. Amen. Except a person that's battling with mental problems. Amen. Now, I want to tell you this morning, we're all needy people. And God knows that. And we should know that. Amen. But we need to get help for ourselves, as did the leper, before we can help others, as did the centurion. Amen. Hallelujah. I like that, don't you? But we talked about that last week and pointed out some things about that as far as getting help from God for ourselves. We preached on that last Sunday morning and Sunday night. And I want to just go back and just say some things quickly about that and then proceed on into verse number 5. If you'll notice, and of course this is a different outline than what I gave to you Sunday. So it ought to be a little helpful, amen, a little refreshment. But I found out that with the leper, and I'm just going to run through these now, or I'm going to attempt to. I'm just going to run through these with the leper for me getting help for myself. How many is interested in getting help from God for yourself? I'm telling you, we need it this morning. We need help. I don't have one area in my life. I'll just tell you, as a pastor, as a Christian of soon to be 28 years, January will be 28 years of insane. I want to tell you, there's not one area in my life that I'm succeeding in. I'm talking about as a Christian. There's not one, listen, if I were to measure all of the life, all of my Christian life, the different aspects of the Christian life, my Bible reading, my Bible memorization, my Bible meditation, my Bible study, Bible preaching, studying the Word of God, witnessing, praying, I mean all of it. I don't know of one area in my Christian life that I'm scoring a 10. Amen. So I need God to help me. Here's the thing I noticed, and I jotted these down quickly. I noticed to get help for myself personally, number one, I need to recognize that, of course, help is personal. Help from God. My help that I need is personal. Amen. That is, this man, this leper, assumed the responsibility to getting help for himself. He didn't sit back and wait on somebody to come by and pray for him. He didn't wait on somebody else to come by, my friend, and lend a helping hand or to mix up some potion. I tell you what, he realized that if I get some help from Jesus, I'm going to have to go myself. And I'm just going to tell you, friend, help will be had for you when you assume the responsibility to go after it personally. Help is personal. Amen? That's right. It was what was needed. Amen? That drove him and motivated him. His help was personal. Amen? Do you need help personally? There's help for you personally. Jesus is a wonderful, 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 universal Savior to all that believe. But I want to tell you, dear friend, there's times I don't need a universal Savior. There's times I don't need, my friend, a generational Savior. I tell you what I need. There's times, friend, I need a Savior that'll get in the closet with me. There's times I need a Savior that'll get in the battle with me. There's times I need a Savior, my friend, that'll get under the burden with me. There's times I need a Savior that'll get a hold of my hand and lead me and guide me and console me and help me. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Boy, as I've preached here time and again, ladies and gentlemen, that such Savior can be that I need 100% of the time and never be distracted from you. Amen. If I give 100% of my attention to someone, then nobody else has any attention. But Jesus is so much above us and so beyond us, He can give 100% of His attention to me 100% of the time and never be distracted from you. What a God, what a Savior. Buddha can't do that. Amen. None of the old religious leaders of the past can do that. Amen. Only our Savior is omnipresent. That is, He's everywhere all the time. He's God with me all the time. And He can be with you as well. Help is personal. Number two, help that is particular. Help that is particular. Amen. He knew exactly not only what he needed, but he knew exactly the particular one that could help him. I'm afraid a lot of times we try to get help where help cannot be found. Amen. How many people, when they need help spiritually, and they need help emotionally, and they need help, my friend, inside, they go to the world? Amen. They go to the world and they try to find consolation. They try to find edification. They try to find some kind of help in the do's and don'ts of the world and the possessions and positions of the world and the pleasures of the world. Now, I want to testify, my friend, at 47 years old, I tell you, friend, I've been there, and there is no help for you in this world. Amen. We're not dependent on the government. Are you listening? A lot of people think government is the answer. No, it's not the answer. It may be more of the question than it is the answer. Are you listening? Amen. Amen. I was in a meeting this week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and we was having lunch with a preacher's son. And he's a big businessman. And he said that while he was in his business activities throughout the day, he met a lady, and this was before Tuesday. He met a lady, I'm not going to say much about that, but he met a lady that said after Tuesday, said, now I can get help with my house payment, and I can get help for my car payment, and now I can get help with my insurance. That's what the mentality of a lot of people is. Boy, if we can get the right person up there, if we can get the right color up there, if we can get the right, my friend, a political party up there, man, they'll take care of my house payment, my car payments, my credit cards, and they'll take care of all this and that and the other. Hey, I want to tell you what, friend, if you're thinking that, I've got a good piece of property, oceanfront property in Sneedville, I probably could sell you real cheap. Oceanfront in Sneedville. You say there are no such thing as oceanfront property in Sneedville. That's exactly right. And I don't have none over there no way. Amen. I'm just telling you, friend, the government's not the answer. The government's not the answer. God's the answer. Amen. His help was not only personal, particular, but it was also pursued. This leper got help. Why? Because he went after it. Amen. It pursued. The Bible said it was this leper. And you can read the account also in Mark and also in Luke. And you can find this leper, my friend, he came running to Jesus, one of the accounts talks about, and fell down at His feet. He came running. He recognized, my friend, that his help would only come as he pursues it. Amen. I'll just be honest with you, a lot of people, all they want out of God is a Santa Claus God. Amen. That's right. Don't bow your head. It ain't time to pray yet. Amen. That's all they think God is a Santa Claus God. Just throw up a little wish list and He'll grant it. Amen. Hello. I don't want to get on that, but I'm going to tell you, if you get some help, you're going to have to go after it. Amen. You can't just sit back and do nothing, lay out of church, not read your Bible, expect to get any help from God. If you're going to get some help, you're going to have to go after it, amen? You're going to have to be responsible and say, hey, nobody's going to feel sorry for me. Nobody's going to do for me what I need done. I'm going to have to get up and go to Jesus, amen? I'm going to have to make some efforts to get some help from the Lord. So His help was pursued, amen? His help was not magical. Boy, listen, I wish some of that stuff I hear on TV preached, I wish it was true. Get saved, get right with God, you'll never be broke, never be poor, never experience any poverty, never be sick, never have any problems. Devil shivers in his shadows every time he gets around you. I wish some of that stuff was true, but you know what? There's very little of it true. Amen. I listened to some the other night down there in South Carolina. I thought, unto God, when did they get away from Bible preaching? Amen. I mean, they got away from Bible preaching, thus saith the Lord, and they got into extra-biblical revelations. The Lord told me that He's fixing to do this for you. You know? There ain't an ounce of Bible for none of it. But that crowd goes wild. Hoop, holler, scream, donate thousands of dollars. Amen. But anyway, I don't want to get on that. But listen, help from God is not magical. It's not a preacher or somebody waving a wet magic wand over you and saying abracadabra, squirting you with a little rose water. Amen. Saying little ritual over you. I tell you, get help from God is when you assume the responsibility and get up and say, I don't like what I am. I don't like where I am. I don't like the direction I'm going in. I want to get some help from Jesus, and I'm going to seek Him. Amen. If I don't get it, then that'll be one thing. But it won't be because I didn't ask. It won't be because I didn't seek it. It won't be because I didn't go after it. Amen. I want to tell you, praise God, nobody ever goes after help from Jesus that turns and goes away with their head shaken and being rejected. Go to Him. Go to Him. Seek Him for help from God. My friend, and see if He don't do something for you. Help that's pursued. Fourthly, help that's pressing. Brother, he was a leper. He wasn't going to live long. Death was certain. And him getting help, brother, wasn't optional. Him getting help, Brother Bob, was pressing. That was an urgency. You know why a lot of people... Come on now. I'm trying to get to the centurion. We ain't got there yet. You know why a lot of people's not getting help? They treat the help that they're needing just casual. Well, if I don't get help now, I'll just keep praying about it. You know, I'm going to go to church, and if nothing happens, I might go again later. You won't get help, brother, unless it's pressing. You won't get the help you need from Jesus unless it's an urgency on your part. Amen. Help number five was pleaded for. This leper, my friend, went to Jesus and verbally expressed. See, the Bible said, out of abundance heart, mouth speaking. Amen. It's hard to say that you really want something, need something for God, and you don't ever pray about it. Well, preacher, I wish this had happened. Well, you pray about it. Well, not really. Amen. But it was pleaded for. And then number six, his help was powerful. Amen. There was no known human cure for leprosy in the world. Are you listening? Amen. I mean, listen, when they got leprosy, they was exiled into a leper colony. They were banished. They were a social reject. They couldn't have any dealings with even their own family. And when anybody even came around them, they would cover their mouth and cry unclean. But brother, when Jesus showed up, Jesus didn't run at the unsightly image of this leper. By the way, if you've ever seen photographs of lepers, they're not attractive. They don't smell good. They don't look good. Amen. Their skin is scaly and rough and all kinds of stench involved. But Jesus didn't turn and run. He didn't hide. He said, oh, here comes a leper. Everybody dodge. Everybody hide. No, praise God. When the leper ran to Him, my friend, in beseeching Him for help, guess what Jesus did? Jesus responded by reaching, stretching forth His hand and touching Him. And when He touched Him, my friend, guess what happened? Jesus didn't get the leprosy. But the leper got Jesus. Amen. The condition of Jesus transferred over to Him. He was made clean. I'm talking about help that's powerful. Amen. Sometimes we act like God is weak. God's anemic. God's going out of business. I want to report here today, thanks be unto His worthy, holy name, that God is still powerful. Amen. I like that, don't you? He said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That's what the leper said. That word canst means to be able, to have the power and the resources, to be capable. The leper went with the assurance that this man I'm getting help from is capable, able, has the power and the resources. Here, number seven, help is productive. Thank God you go get help from Jesus. My friend, it's going to produce help in you. Amen. It's productive. Amen. I like that. The leprosy was stopped. That's what the man wanted. The leprosy was stripped. He wanted it gone. He didn't want it just covered over and put a band-aid. He wanted leprosy gone. Now I'm going to tell you, I said it last Sunday night. The number one drive from this leper, for this leper to go after God to get some help was the fact he wanted to be clean. Amen. I tell you, a sinner's ready to get saved when he wants to be clean. When he's tired of his filth and tired of his filthy mind and his filthy mouth and his filthy morals. Amen. I mean, he's tired of it. He's sick of it. And he wakes up at times and says, there's got to be something better to life than this. He sees the dead end that he's headed down. He recognizes that drugs and alcohol, my friend, and immorality is doing nothing for him and not satisfying nor contenting him. And you know what? He says, there's got to be something better than this. Amen. Oh, thank God. But one trip to Jesus took care of business. It was productive, amen. And then number eight, help was proven. He said, I want you to take your cleanse, your new state, and I want you to go and to see the priest. And he said, I want you to do it so you can line up with the law. And he said, I want you to do it for a testimony. Proven. If you've been cleansed, if you've been made whole, if you've got some help from the Lord, it'll be proven in your life. There'll be a testimony to the fact. Amen. It'd be good if we could get our churches back again where we could hear some testimonies in the services. God's helped me. I needed this. I sought God. I had this issue. And God helped me. You very seldom ever hear that testimony in the house of God. Is God not helping anybody? Is that it? Or is it people not seeking help from God? Is that it? Help that's proven. And then help that is proclaimed. Good example, that's Mark 1:45. The account of this said that he went out and began to blaze abroad the matter. He began, my friend, to tell the story greatly and largely. He told it excitingly. Amen. And you know what? The crowd and the fame of Jesus got so big that Jesus couldn't even go into town publicly. He had to go into the desert places. And even then, the multitudes followed him. Help needs to be proclaimed, amen. It needs to be told. All right, let me just introduce it, try to, on our second story. Not only getting help from God for ourselves, but number two, getting help from God for others, as verse 5 down through verse 13 exhibits with the centurion. Now I want to show you a couple of things here. We'll preach a little while on this and unhook and maybe come back tonight and finish it. But I want you to see something here. Look, if you will, about the centurion getting help for somebody else. Amen. You can tell your spirituality when your spirituality starts involving others. Now, there's two ways of getting help for others that I see in the chapter. One is with the centurion, and the other is found in verse 16. Look at verse number 16. The Bible said, and when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Now notice the two ways to get help for others. One, as illustrated with the centurion, you go to God in the behalf of others. And then illustrated in verse 16, you go to God, my friend, bringing others. Do you see it? The centurion went to God on behalf of another. Those in verse 16 got help from God for others by bringing others to God. So there's the two ways seen here about getting help for other people. Help and getting help from God for others is that, my friend, you can either go to God in their behalf, or you can bring them. You can bring them or lead them is what the word brought there indicates, means to lead. You ever heard the terminology lead people to God? I wonder if you could lead somebody to God. You know, in order for you to lead somebody to God, you got to know where he's at. Amen. That's right. Just illustrated with the four men in Mark chapter 2 that reached and got the man sick of palsy that was laying on his bed, and each one of them got a corner. Well, they bore him. They carried him and took him to Jesus. One of the great truths there is they knew where Jesus was. The Bible said there in Mark 2, in verse number 2, that when Jesus entered into the house, it was noised abroad. It was noise abroad. Hey, I'll tell you where we need to be bringing people is where God is. And RBT needs to be a church that's got the reputation, this is where God is. Amen? People ought to get a report. Hey, if you need some help, you can go down to RBT. They're not perfect. They've not arrived. Nobody's got halos and wings. But we're just sinners saved by the grace of God. We're loving God, wanting to serve God. And you can go down there because God meets with His people. Amen. Now, I'll tell you right now, friend, they didn't, in Mark 2, they didn't carry Jesus to, carry that young man to just any place, just to any house. They found out the one Jesus was in, and they took him there. Amen. This church right here is going to be built on one thing and one thing only, and that's whether or not Jesus is here. Are you listening? If our church ever resorts to activities to build it, I hope it flops. And that's on tape, and you can put it in your library and listen to it later. Amen. Listen, if this church, even if I'm the pastor or whoever's pastor, my friend, if this church ever gets away from their ultimate dependence on the presence and power of Christ to build this church and to build our families, amen, and to save our young people, and amen, if we get on anything and depend on anything else, I hope the lights goes out. Amen. Because there's too many churches now spread around everywhere. They've got a preacher and they've got some singing and teaching and they've got a few activities, but God hadn't visited that place in years. Amen. I wasn't here, but I know what Brother Bob told you Wednesday night. Moved back to Wisconsin and he's been going to great extent to trying to find a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching independent Baptist church in Wisconsin around within driving distance of where he lives. Are you listening? And you know what his, was it your daughter told you? She went with you. I believe it was his daughter. And she's still a Lutheran. Which Bob was raised Lutheran, just got saved not long ago. Hey, you know what? You know what she told him? Listen, I'll tell you, this is a shame. You know what she told him? He might have missed this Wednesday, I don't know. But they went to one, I believe it was Sunday or whatever, and she told him, she said, we might as well go to the Lutheran church. This is just as dead as ours. Hey, I'm going to tell you, friend, it's not the title out there on the sign that makes the difference, amen? Hey, amen, are you listening? Listen, oh, glory to God, I feel like I need to preach right there. That's what the mentality of lost people thinks. They come in here, they don't care if you're a Baptist or what you got on your name, title out there. If it's dead, they just put you in with all the rest of the dead outfit. Amen. Amen. Good illustration of that is found in 1 Kings. My friend, when Elijah called Ahab and the prophets of Baal to Mount Carmel, my friend, he told them, said, build your altar, get your sacrifice, gather around and pray. And I want to tell you, they were religious to the core, Brother David. They were religious. They had their sacrifice. They had their altar. They had their assembly. They had their prophets. They had all of that. And they spent time, Brother Gene, praying and even cutting themselves. Oh, Baal, send the fire. Nothing happened. And after a while, Brother Silas, you know what Elijah did? Elijah said, all right, it's my turn. Get out of the way. Amen. Your religious rigmarole ain't doing nothing. Amen. Your rituals is doing nothing. Your routines is doing nothing. Get out of the way for some realness. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll take realness over rituals any day, won't you? I'll tell you what Elijah did. Elijah repaired the altar. Elijah, my friend, soaked it down real good with water. Made sure nobody would think it. He threw a match in there and lit it himself. He made sure it was totally impossible for a human fire to burn that thing. And he prayed 63 words. And the fire failed. And consumed the sacrifice, consumed the altar, the stones, licked up all the water, praise God. I mean, done it all. And that crowd that saw that, they began to shout, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. What made the difference? It wasn't the altar. It wasn't the sacrifice. It wasn't the ritual of prayer. What made the difference was the fire fell. I'm not talking about wildfire. fire. I know a lot of churches, my friend, around, they've got away from the real fire of God that comes from heaven, amen. They started producing man-made fire. Emotionalism. We don't have to have that. I don't know how I got on all that. We need the realness of God. Amen. How do you get help for others? You get help for others, my friend, one, by going to God in their behalf. How long's it been since you done that? How long's it been since I done that? How long's it been since the name of another person fell across your lips in prayer? I'm talking about going to God in behalf of somebody else. This centurion went to Jesus to get help, not for himself. He was denying himself. Did he have needs? He was human. No doubt he had needs. He was a Gentile. Amen. A Roman soldier. A centurion. He had needs, I promise you. But he disregarded his own needs to go to get Jesus to help somebody else. A sure sign of a loss of spirituality is selfishness. Killing us. It's killing us spiritually. It's killing us. Selfishness is a killer. Right. Amen. When it's always me and mine and no more, amen, I'll tell you, you're headed down a dead-end road. Amen. Jesus, when He came here, my friend, in His 33 years of life and His 3.5 years of earthly ministry, my friend, you know what one thing that described Jesus? Brother Mark, I've heard you tell it. One word described Jesus' whole earthly ministry. Others. Everywhere He went, everything He did, everything He taught, everything He preached, everything He rebuked, it was all for others. Amen. Book of Romans 15 talks about in Christ, please, not Himself. He made Himself, Philippians 2, He made Himself of no reputation. I want to tell you what's truth. I can't hardly get a hold of that. That's just about bigger than I can handle right there. He emptied Himself, made Himself of no reputation. If young people, if all of us would be governed by that one principle right there, no telling what it would be for God. Amen. How many people's more interested in reputation? How many people's more interested in what others think about them than they are what God thinks about them? Amen. That's good. Well, we get help by going to God in behalf of others. We go to God by bringing others to God. Now, I want to look at this centurion and just kind of zero in on him. And I'm going to just share maybe a point or two here, and then we'll unhook and maybe finish it tonight or something. We'll just fill it out and see how it goes. The first thing that let me show you this. I got to show you this. What was the key thing? What was the key thing that Jesus lifted out or exalted or magnified out of the whole situation here with the centurion coming to Him on behalf of His servant? What was the one thing? Faith. Look at what He said in verse number 10. And when Jesus heard it, He marveled and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Then again in verse 13, As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. You know what was driving this centurion? His faith. You know what was motivating this centurion? His faith. And when that stuck out to me, Brother Carroll, I began to look. Well, what kind of faith was it? God calls it a great faith. God calls it a great faith. And I wanted to look at that faith and just kind of... Listen, if we're going to get some help for other people from God, it's got to come through faith. Amen? It's got to come through faith. That's our only way of getting anything out of God and from God for other people is through the avenue of faith. All right, listen to this. Here's the first thing I want to share with you. The first thing I want to share with you, now we done dealt with the leper almost twice already. Amen? That's getting help for yourself. Getting help for ourselves from God. The centurion is talking about getting help for others from God. Here's the first kind of faith that'll get help from God for others. Number one, it was a discerning faith. Amen. It was a discerning faith. What do you mean a discerning faith? This centurion, my friend, knew the condition of that servant. He went to Jesus and described it to Jesus as that my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. You know what's going to cause us to get help, go to God and get help for other people? We're going to have a discerning faith. We're going to have to know their condition. We're going to have a discernment, and faith produces discernment. Faith produces discernment, and his discernment was he knew the condition of his servant, and that moved him, that touched him, that burdened him. You say, preach, that sounds like Jesus. Jesus could look and see the multitudes, and the Bible said he'd be moved with compassion. We live in a world of 6.5 billion, almost 7 billion people, and sinners are all around us everywhere. My friend, they're like this man sick of palsy. They're paralyzed. They can't do, and they're sick. They're grievously tormented. And I'll tell you, we can't get help for them unless we are moved, unless we're burdened, unless we're touched. I really believe, listen, I don't believe we'll ever touch them till they touch us. I don't believe we'll ever touch sinners till sinners touch us.
Right. Amen.
Amen. I mean, this centurion, he was a Roman centurion. That meant he had 100 soldiers under him. He confessed of his own mouth, I am a man under authority. And he also confessed it of his own mouth that not only am I a man under authority, but he said, I've got soldiers under me. I am also a man in authority. But he had watched this servant, my friend, with this palsied sickness, listen, and with this, and being grievously tormented. He had watched that. He was moved in that behalf till that became a priority to him. Oh, mercy. Getting help for this man became a priority for him. Amen. Was he busy? 100 soldiers under him? And he already testified. He said, I can tell one to go and he goes, and one to do and he does, and one to come and he comes. In other words, he's got a lot of commands going. He's got a lot of things going. He's got a lot of things in motion. And I want to tell you what, the condition of that servant, my friend, had so bothered him, burdened him, had it so touched him, and it so tenderized him, my friend, that he realized, this is a priority to me. I am going to get Jesus to help him. You know why we're not seeking help for others? We don't have a discernment of their condition. Amen. Amen. One thing that I believe is really clear in this Bible is that when you get close to Jesus, you become sinner conscious. I was with Brother Starling this week, and his father-in-law's Brother Thomas Caldwell. Y'all don't know him. He pastors in Lexington, South Carolina. And they came every night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They moved their service. They came every night. Little small church, and they came. Well, we went out every night after church. This morning ain't big as a cow, amen. We'd go out every night after church to eat. Of course, I didn't mind that, amen. I kind of am allergic to it. I like it. But we went out there and we'd go to this same restaurant two of the three nights, went the same one. And Brother Caldwell, he's 70, almost 70 years old, carries him a big pocket of tracks. And here we are, about to eat our fingernails off. And what he's doing is going around the restaurant, handing them a gospel tract and standing at their table and witnessing to them. I mean, it was amazing. I mean, amazing. That man, listen, I'm talking about having discernment. Here I am in there thinking about, is this food good? He's wondering about that table over there. Are they going to hell? Are you listening? I mean, he went up to two tables of black folks there, and he said, I guess y'all going to vote for Obama, aren't you? I mean, he's got a knack, boy. Listen, and boy, they just fell right in his hand. He said, I guess you're voting for Obama, aren't you? And they kind of laughed stuff. He said, well, he's making promises that he can't fulfill. But let me tell you about one that made promises that can make good on his promises. And his name's Jesus. Turn that thing right around and boom, right there it is. Amen. 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 I mean, listen, I went out there and I told Brother Starling, I said, Brother Starling, your father-in-law witnessed to more people right there in that restaurant in the last 30 minutes than most people have witnessed to in 5 years. Right. And maybe some, Brother Silas, in their whole life.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Every person in that restaurant, including the workers, got witnessed to before we left. I asked him about it. I said, Brother Caldwell, I said, boy, I wish I was more like that. I wish I was more like that. And you know what he said? He said, I look for opportunities. He said, if I'm Walmart, no matter where I'm at, I look for opportunities. He said, I look for something that'll catch my eye. I look for something. He said, one fellow was walking through Walmart and had a big t-shirt on, something about how mean he was and all that. He went up there and he said, hey, son. Of course, he's 70. I guess he can call him son. He said, son, what do you got that on your shirt for? Something about being the meanest and baddest and all that stuff. And Brother Caldwell told him, said, you need to be sued. And that boy looked at him like, I need to be sued. He said, yeah, that's false advertisement. And then that boy just laughed and he'd come turn right around and give him a gospel. And I mean, just look for little things like that. And I thought, man, we all need that, don't we? I'm talking about, listen, ain't no need going no further. You know what the main key is, getting help for other people? Noticing that they need it. I'm talking about a discerning faith. Faith will cause your eyes to be open to the needs of others. This man here had a great faith that was first seen in the fact that he was discerning, seeing, noticing the condition of his servant and was burdened over it. If we're going to get help for others, as illustrated here, we've got to have a faith that will cause us to see the need. I'm telling you, I'm as guilty as the next one, friend. I don't see the need as like I should. And it's everywhere. Wednesday night in the service, there this past Wednesday night in the service, they turned it over to me and I was just trying to moderate, trying to mind the Lord. I didn't feel like God wanted me to preach. I don't understand all that. But God just had me to moderate there a little bit. And I stepped in the pulpit. I said, I'm probably not going to preach tonight. Here's what God said to me in prayer today. There's somebody here lost, needs to be saved. And there's some people here not right with God. Fellow stood up over here, a pastor's son-in-law, a preacher's son-in-law, Brother Caldwell's son-in-law, in fact, stood up and come down the aisle and said, preacher, I got things in my life that ought not... I mean, spoke it out, coming to the altar. Said, I got things in my life that ought not to be there. And I need to get right with God about it. And then there was a joining in with him. Several stood up and said, I do too, preacher. Down the aisles they come. And I was dealing with that first one that came down in the altar, and all of a sudden I heard just an eruption of shouting throughout the building, and I couldn't see what it was because I was dealing with him. But I afterward found out that was a pastor's daughter, Brother Caldwell's daughter, had gotten saved. Brother Starling's sister-in-law had gotten saved. 40-something years old, been raised in a godly home, lost without God. They're everywhere. They're in our churches. They're here today. We've got lost people in the service today. But I wonder how many of us that are saved even notice. And if you go to church here, many of you already know, you just know some that are lost by their own testimony. But do we even notice? Every Sunday we come, Sunday night we come, Wednesday night we come. What do we even have on our mind? There she is, or there he is, and they're lost. Oh God, save them. Go to God in their behalf. Oh God, deal with them. God, draw them. Get their attention. Don't let the devil distract them. But how many times do we go through a service, my friend, knowing they're here, and don't even pray for them? Well, I knew I was going to get quiet on that one. I can't shout too much on that neither. I'm talking about a discerning faith. If we're going to help go to God and get some help from God for others, we're going to have discernment. We're going to have the Holy Spirit to open our eyes. I mean, listen, let me just give you an example. When you get close to God, you become center conscious. How many of you come to church before? I have. I know you have. During the summer, and en route to church, you see somebody out mowing their yard. Well, I can't believe they're mowing their yard. And you get all bent out of shape over them mowing their yard. When the reality should be, there's probably a sinner. That's probably a sinner mowing the yard. They're just doing, you know, and noticing that. When you talk to somebody, like Brother Marcus talking about on his new job, seeing people, I wonder if they're lost. I wonder if they're saved. Should be heavy on our mind all the time. I wonder if they're saved. I wonder if they're lost. Go through the checkout line. I wonder if this lady's saved or not. Huh? Amen. It's quiet. Anybody notice how quiet it is in here besides me? I knew it was going to get quiet on that point. You know why? We should all, pretty much all of us, be under conviction about that. Amen. I want people, listen, I'll just tell you, I want a greater burden for lost people. I want a greater desire to see people saved. Listen, I know parents, my friend, that's got lost children that don't have a burden for them. Oh, they'll tell you out of their mouth, I'd like to see them saved. And I'm talking about a burden that takes sleep out of their eyes, takes their appetite away. Amen, Brother Brian. I'm talking about, listen, have a burden for their children, knowing that if they died lost, draw their last breath, they're lost without God, and they spend eternity in hell, my friend, and be so tore up over that they can't stand it. Amen. Guarantee if the truth is known, I guarantee, and I'm on parents right now, I guarantee there's parents, my friend, with lost children have spent 24 hours this week in any of the given days and not even prayed with any sincerity in heart, God save my child. You better watch it, friend. Busyness will take away your burden. Get so carried away with running, going to your schedule, and you got all that. And my friend, people right out under you, right under your own eyelids goes to hell. Oh, God, help us, Jesus. Have a discerning faith. I'm not going to go any further than that. Sister Paul, if you'll come. I just want to say this right here. This centurion was busy, but he noticed. This centurion was busy, but he knew. He was moved, Brother David. He was moved. He was disturbed. Listen, he had a burden. He was touched when he discerned and saw the condition of this young man. Have we been moved to go to God to get help for others simply because we've noticed the condition they're in? As long as we think sinners are all right, we'll never be moved in that direction. God help us. Let's all stand to our feet.